This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And I'll read to you 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon sunny places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Now, from verse 18 to 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This morning this is a passage for our meditation, and this is a well-known parable of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we call it the parable of the sower. And our subject for thinking through is different kinds of hearers. Different kinds of hearers. In that way, same kakra radio again on our time fee, Matthew's and panel, chapter 13. Any verses are my kind of. Now, where in somewhere, the book somewhere is used to, or can I, a far would be an abudia, or they would be a dear, a dear, a tray, a dear. Now, dear, here means, yeah, put it down so their shares are the book same year. It's here for, so it's really what you for me, or I mean, awesome. And, before I come to the parable, the Lord Jesus Christ, by this parable, indeed revealed to us that it is not enough to hear the gospel, and as he said, the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, just the gospel about himself, the message that he has come as our savior. So he's telling us that it is not enough to hear the gospel, the soul-saving message of God. It's not enough to hear it. For until your heart, you give your heart to it, it will not bear any fruit of salvation. Because the gospel is that in Romans chapter 8, chapter 1, we are told, is the power of God unto salvation. The only means God has adapted to save sinners to himself, to reconcile rebel sinners such as us to himself. So that this parable, and always as I said, each of the parables teach us something about Christ himself, God, and God, the Christ as the Messiah, the anointed one, the mediator of God, between God and man, and ourselves also, and concerning how we can know God. And there some are warnings, some are counsels, some are directions. It has so many implications. So each of the parables, it may have a story of ordinary life matter, but the deeper thing is to teach us something about spiritual condition. So that this tells us it's not enough to listen to the gospel, to hear this soul-saving message. If we don't give our heart to it, it will bear no fruit in our heart. The American said, yes, Christos, that probably the apostle said,
see me tears and funny moon here, but in yellow pen. See, I'm fair for my months and father fun on Saja and Pano be one mine. I any other boy for see here, Jim Pano, what do you feel for Nemo? No, or the other by Radin Chen, I may have put on far out and call for one. See, I'm fair, Yagi, I never come my mother and young one, Jim Quinn, feel for Nemo. A ginger. And see, a cocoa or the one I make us. And because somebody is restoring Yano, Niniano, or the trend seven far, Yenia Pupon, Timmy, and also one who saw ye. A jump for a baby asses or better a private to me who ride them. A cat, the same in Yano, and bring there be your cup parable as a boost and I fast. I know when Yano. I'm sure we all, each one of us, know that our problem, our greatest need, or our greatest problem is sin, and our greatest need is to deliver from sin and its condemnation. Whether we agree about this or not, even the world and the troubles in the world teaches us that if there's no sin in the world, there will be the world will be a happy place. They make an assembly show saying yeah in himself. Yeah how pa if I want a body. And then you hear dear pa in here and say you better see if you want it to me. And I'm gonna say if we are to cry and how we are seeing yeah I went in the bar. See I'm sure so be an himself one if we are like we are seeing. And he said, yeah, I'm going to put the actual on the way here if you want him to say, I didn't hear at the mind. Because this gospel of, and the gospel is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about God's kindness to send his son, Lord Jesus Christ, to come on earth to atone for sin, to come and appease for sin on the cross of Calvary. When he died on the cross of Calvary, it was sacrifice for sin. Yes, Christ, a cancer man of Yakupon, I am here. I want that the Ocopim Brasse or someone is by Yes Christ to some baby. I see no brand on my Brema Bonnet or Sanson Fanon and Tibone Asuchi or Calvary. Now, by a bear side, you know, and whom seven night or seat, and whom seven names and panel. Nasa, at the end of the day, what it means that this message of Christ dying on the cross for sinners, every sinner that hears it. Is supposed to believe in him. If it's not that he has, it must give his heart to him. It's to come to him to be saved from sin. And so then, when we are saved from sin, then we are saved from condemnation of sin. So, since the prayer of Jesus Christ also be war at Calvary, Emma the boy of war, will be all the boy in Nibianotia. If you had yourself, when he said also, what they were to so. Near Geno, a finny bonny. If so, she had two of you bonny more, one name wants to share the bonny home on me, if you so. And that is called God requires from each one of us. Now, if we hear the gospel, we must come to Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save us. But we must believe in what he has done, the cross of Calvary. We must repent of sin and come to him and ask him to save us. It is our responsibility to come and ask him to save us. So that is the gospel. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us in this passage. So now, I'll go to the parable itself. This Christo, the all can assure you, and he says, say, Oba Uma at Boyenfo Calvary. See, I put on the Baba called Suma and Uba, we ask him, say, you near the Boyenfo, see, it's here. Or say, you can't home, you're putting him, yes, Shannon Bonifacher, you're real toast, the Wild Calvary. So Uma Bonnie, so a king, but the Bonnie wants to train at the Tony, so. Emma Owu, Emma de Boyofo, or see about the name near Shreno, no GM. So GA, Yahoo Pond name, no me or the actual de Boyofo, or so young 4 years, so yes, it may be any call for me. So now, as I said, I'll come to the parable itself. The back parable, Nemo, Nash, the best train, said the Ecosono. And the first thing is that in this parable, the Lord Jesus Christ grouped the hearers of the gospel into four kinds. And that is how anytime the gospel is preached, that is how the Lord sees us. Four different kinds of people, and that is the category of persons the Lord divided the his hearers. And so we begin from verse 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. So he began with what the sower. Or shall say, Gufobi ko gua de, and no Lord shall say na. Or then the Juma no ye no baba ye, or the batu, based on person ye tia se, nipano, senipati, and kupona se moa. Bessima, what's the nipati, watch it? Omay tia na se, watch it, and nine. So the first one is the wayside hearers, and we find it in this verse 1. The sower went forth to sow, and verse 3 to 4. The sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. So we see the wayside hearers. That's the first batch of people he is trying to bring to our attention. The wayside hearers. And in chapter 13, verse 19, he tells us the meaning of this category of people. When he said that when any heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So he has explained it to us. So the first category of persons and their response to the gospel is the wayside hearers. And here, these wayside hearers represent those that when they hear the gospel, the message of his salvation, of his saving grace, and they don't understand it, then the wicked one here is the devil. We have a parallel passage in Luke chapter 8. The wicked one is the devil, Satan himself. So that he comes and catch away what is sown in their hearts. And this is which is received by the wayside. So that the heart of these people don't really, keep the word at all. Means they hear it, it goes away. So they are people who have hardened their heart against the gospel. That's the picture. Their heart don't have room for the gospel. So their mind don't have a space to keep the message of the gospel. They listen to it with no serious concern for their soul. That's what it means. The gospel has no impression on their mind. Whatever message, whether it warns them or it encourages them to come, or whatever, it tells them that life is short and that they have to think about how they will pass away and soon they will come and meet the Lord at the day of judgment. No, they don't care about that. And yet they are sinners. You see, they've hardened their heart to the gospel. So these are the wayside hearers. They harden their heart. Immediately they hear the gospel, it goes away. They have no room for the gospel. They have no room to keep the message of God's saving grace. Often such people are keeping, the problem is that they are keeping sinful habits. No, maybe people keep sinful habits. They don't want to break away from any particular sin they are so into. The gospel will have nothing in their mind. Because their mind is already filled with these things. And they are not willing to break away. You know that the sad thing is that they continue to reject the message of the gospel. They refuse to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and really repent of sin and put their hope in what he has done on the cross of Calvary. What happens is that they are rejecting the only remedy for sin. Remember, our apostle said, "Omu things empano ah, yaku pa from us, omu sakro magi, omu from reshe Christo mu, ibiso abe wu di no mama bwane no." Now, omu from reshe no nti omu kai. Remember, our apostle upo no. The Etienne said, "E kwa ba aku pa nipa si Etienne bwane mi betu mi ati efi mu no yaku pa di atu kona no omu upo no." Day after day, when they reject the gospel to repent, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are rejecting the only cure for sin. Like a person who is ill and he doesn't want to go see the doctor, or he doesn't want to take the medicine that is given. How can he be cured? Day after day, he gets worse and worse and worse, and the disease will eat him up. And what happens? He's gone. So these are the wayside hearers. They have no the gospel has no influence in their minds, in their hearts. Yes, they may go to church, but it has, they have given their mind and their heart to live in sin. They don't care about the sin they are living. And the sad thing that the verse tells us, and then cometh the wicked one, when they don't care about the gospel, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in their heart. So that these people throw themselves into Satan. They throw themselves into the hands of Satan. That's what they do. Because Satan, like I said it, he moves about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'll repeat myself. He's not moving about to devour your prosperity in this world. He's not moving about to devour your physical health. He's not moving about to devour your family or your whatever, your destiny. He's moving around to devour your heart and mind so that you will not give your heart and mind to God. Satan is a greater rebel. And he wants more people in his camp. And so long as people live in sin, he's happy. And it is only in sin that he has dominion over people. When people are delivered from the power of sin and the condemnation of sin, Satan has no power over them again. So he's happy. He's moving about, seeking whom he may devour. And he's happy when people are stubborn in sin. People rebel against God. They don't care about God. And they are so settled in their sin. So these people throw themselves into Satan's hands. And he's happy to receive them and to find in their mind all sorts of sins. So he tells them, he suggests to the ears of such people, probably the gospel is telling us that the gospel, the particular gospel is speaking about how we are all sinful, that no good pleases God. The devil will tell you, oh, I'm not too bad. Somehow I have some good things. Well, I'm not like the other people who are so seated in sin. Well, the devil, maybe the gospel teaches us about how God alone should be trusted, and God's word, and probably the person I've read about many things, false ideas about God, and say, have other versions of God. They have other version about the message that the God, they have other ideas about God. So then the devil will deceive you to say, oh, well, it may be true or not true. They don't give your heart to it, you see. The Americans are born some go for a coso. And the old things and funny people are not fast. Oh, Babu can say, Papa, be a new one in your born into your coupon, your papa and Sunday. Almost like I said, oh, who did it for one is that? Oh, maybe I want to hear who you are just only papa, the Christo needs any crabby, and you are the baby. Or for some sort of your catcher, well, the air catcher of your uncle, maybe I never crave, say, you must walk, your coupon, Musuma, and I say, you can't be brewers from your coupon, Jadena, oh, how. So, we sacrifice one even out of my shit if you're supposed to be sad. So, Satan can do that. And also, he can while we hear the gospel, we can suggest some kind of the things maybe we use to detain ourselves, which we have become addicted to. Probably something like maybe we enjoy maybe football. Football is not sin, but then maybe you are somebody who has given your mind for football, he put something there. Maybe you are listening to the message, and or maybe some movies you are watching, some series you are watching. You've given yourself to these things. He reflects something in your mind. Maybe a portion of that thing. Then that catches your attention. By the time you your mind comes back, the message is gone. It has no influence on you. Or probably nowadays many of the youth, they are debating. Maybe they are thinking of some of their scores and all that. By the time their mind comes back, the message is gone. Satan has so many ways. He adapts. He knows each one of us and what affects us. Okay? Sometimes he can give me some popular news that we have heard and which we are thinking about while we come to church. When it comes to political, when there's time for election, political news, those of us who listen more to political news, it could be something about some, and you are in the church. Your mind, then he brings it to your mind, then he catches you up. Because during the week, you have given your heart and mind to these things. You see, these are the ways that hear it. The devil has so many things to distract them. So you see, there are so many ways the devil, attacks us, and he gets our minds. So that is why, if indeed, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. If we are not desiring to be right with God, and that to live according to His will, so that we are ever praying to seek, and we give our heart and mind to things which we think that are not sinful, but then we have given all our hearts and minds to it. You see, then what happens? In church also, it could even be business or work-related matters, and that thing has consumed all of our lives. And Satan will use that to get to us. The message of the gospel becomes nothing. The wayside hearer. That is it. The gospel comes, then it's taken away. And if the message is taken away, where can it get root in our heart? You see? So that is the first danger that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to tell us, so that we should prepare our mind. That's the first danger he's reminding us. The second one is the stony place hearers. Then we find it from verse 5 to 6. It says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. Now let's look at the meaning. He tells us the meaning in verse 20. So we are looking at Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and along with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So here is another category of people, and I've termed them stony place hearers. Stony place hearers. So it says that these people, they're happy to hear. They're happy because they think the message goes well with them, and probably they realize that their sinfulness, and then they want to get rid of it. But then there's a problem with these people. He tells us that when the persecution comes, then all the joy they have has withered away. Their joy is not a constant one. So these kind of hearers give only a skin deep attention to the gospel, a shallow attention to the gospel. So you see, the first people don't really consider it after, but this will somehow consider it. They consider it, but it's like a shallow consideration. And often this category of people mistake feelings for true spiritual experience. Feelings for self-pity for real conviction. Probably they think of their sin, and they see that what religious people have died for sin, and they are willing to give up and to yield their heart to Him. But they don't really go deep. It's like somebody, I'm sure we have been to funerals, and people, when maybe the body is coming, then they will be rolling themselves, they are crying. Immediately they take the body away, you see them dancing in the funeral grounds. I'm sure you have seen people like that. They say, "Mishas, they are quite here. Kofo e brevo omo. Oh, say the funeral banner. Omo the home uniform. No, you just put in there. Fake up for ya. Very no mood to speak around omo sa." So what's the sorrow? Was it real? The true person who has felt sorrow, well, he will not continue crying, but throughout the funeral he will be thinking. You'll be thinking. Well, maybe he relate to the person, and even after the funeral, he still feels the emptiness and the loneliness. But the one who as I gave the illustration, who rolled himself on the floor and all that, the next 2 hours the body is gone, he's dancing, eating, and very, very happy. You see, that's a skin deep sorrow. And many people have that sorrow when they think of their sin. They just think of it, and immediately they are so affected. But few hours, they forgotten even that they were so affected with their sin. You see, these are those, the stony place hearers. They are the mistake, and that short That short sorrows was saying they are just mere fleshly feelings. It's not spiritual. Spiritual feelings go deeper. It has strong, lasting impressions on the person forever. The sorrow for sin is not just for a second, for a day, for a believer. It's ever. Because the Lord says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. When we come and we're able to, the Lord, saves us. Our thirst for righteousness never cease. Because in this day, we will never have that fullness of righteousness. We are ever seeing our imperfection. We are ever crying. And the more we come closer, and we know, the more we know God, the more we feel our sinfulness, and the more we are down. And the more we are crying for more. You see? That is the true spiritual experience of sorrow, a sorrowful heart. Real conviction. So this stony place here is the delight in the outward show of Christianity. Well, we are part of Christianity, that also. We are part of the body of Christ. I'm sure that's not wrong to say, but people say it with just looseness. We are part of the body of Christ because they are quote unquote in Christian quote unquote. And such people often they even use their talent and possession for the church. They're willing to dedicate themselves to do something for the church, you see. Because somehow they feel that they have been saved. So it is very hard to differentiate them from true Christians. Some people are from say
Different benefit, because only if you have a crystal for almost Cassassa crystal for almost some more problems, a crystal for almost a bonfire, only if you have it. So, how do we distinguish between them? But the distinction is always clear at a point in time, because the Bible tells us that, but yet hath he not wrote in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. By and by, he is offended. So that's where the problem is. Their faith in Christ is easily shipwrecked when troubles of life assault them. When troubles of life assault them, be it sickness, losses, disappointment, pressures of life, and also when personal comforts, life advantages must give way for Christ, for the cause of Christ, for something they must give themselves for Christ. You will not find these people, even if they want to do it, they will do it without faith. They will do it as if it's a chore. They are like, I'm sure those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress, remember Pliable, and Obstinate. They try to go with Christian. And when they fell into the slough of this pond, they got alarmed and trouble. Pliable, when he got out, he returned back to the city of destruction. He didn't want to risk his life. He didn't want to lose his life for such a dangerous journey. They are like him. They love the world and the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not really experienced his love for them. So that in times of trouble, their anchor of love for Christ, their anchor of trust in him, the anchor of obedience in him, in the storms of life, loses. So I think we have a hymn that will your anchor hold in the storms of life as a Christian? How do we know our faith is? Yes, people may be Christian but have weak faith. That is there. Yes, they will be. They will act as if they are so weak, but then they will still trust in the Lord and continue. They will never stop.
They'll continue, they'll be obedient, though they'll struggle, but they'll be obedient to the Lord. But these people, they wouldn't. They would rather have a bypass. And the same pilgrim progress, the bypass middles, you see? I mean, see, there's a way, a shortcut about Christianity. And that's what these people, they are very, they after. They wish there's a shortcut to the Christian life. And the demand to obey the Lord is so heavy for them. They don't love the obedience. They love. So many of these people, they delight only in the promises of forgiveness, promise of eternal life, promise of a happy life in heaven. They are happy to hear these things, but they are not willing to repent of their sinful habits entirely. They repent on some sins that, well, they think is okay with them, but not that which is okay with God. They are not willing to repent of their sinful habits. They are not willing to deny themselves. They are not willing to deny themselves, as I said, so that if they should give up comfort of life for the things of Christ, they are not willing. They will not. They will not. And also to bear the sufferings of the humble and lowly Christian life. Christian life is not that which people claim to be nowadays, like kind of seeking for fame and seeking for recognition, seeking for popularity, and having that kind of trouble-free life. No, Christian life is not like that, you see. So that those who hear the word, their heart is like this stony place. They are not willing to give up life enjoyment for the sake of Christ. They are willing to retain the happiness in this life and so end their way to heaven. No, God will not help. God will not allow us. Yes, He'll give us things to keep us in this world, but He'll not allow us to enjoy the world like the worldling. And at the end of the day, go to heaven. No, the worldling have all their hopes in this world, and they enjoy it, whether the sinful part or the unsinful part. They don't care. So when the Lord saves us, even those that are good, He doesn't want us to really give ourselves to it. Even we restrain ourselves. That's what the Bible teaches us. Even if I'm a Christian, even the sinless things in this life, I don't really even think that I should so much enjoy them. You see? That's what the Lord taught us. And also, He Himself, when He was on earth, He created the world, but He didn't own a house. You see, but Christian, we can own a house, but the fact is that we should not make the things we possess our hope. For the Lord, in His life, taught us. He could have called houses to live in, but He didn't. At a point they came to ask for them a tax or so. He told them to go and fish and take your money and go and pay. He's telling us that even the money that they were having as he and the disciples, so Judas, the thief, that was keeping it. You see? It's a lesson to teach us that He doesn't want us to put our hope in anything in this world, but in Him alone, whether we have or not, in Him alone. And that is where salvation begins. If we are not willing to give our heart and life into Him, entirely to Him, we are not qualified to be saved by Him. He wants all of us, or He wants the totality of a person, not some few things of our lives. He wants to be the master of our whole life. Those that Christ will save, He is the master of their life. Until we want Him to be our master, He will not save us. He will not save us. He must be the master of our life. So when we are not willing to surrender our worldly comforts, fame, worldly ambition for His sake, He will not also save us from sin. He will not help us. Because when we are saved, we have to come and learn of Him. In Matthew chapter 11, 28-30, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Look at this. "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me." And the last part, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." I am humble, and a person that is, whose heart is so, in a state that is ever want to debase himself for the things of God. Even if it should bring him shame in the eyes of the world, he wants to. What's the most shameful thing to die on the cross of Calvary? In those times, it was the most shameful death. And Christ was willing to go to that far, to die to save us. But then I want to come to him. I don't want to give up myself to him for anything for his own sake. So you see, this category of people, they are happy about the blessings of salvation, but they are not happy to yield up to the terms of salvation. So that the stony place hearers do not consider the yoke of Christ. They do not consider the meek and lowly heart that Christ is calling us. So that, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Today, what is going on with many preachers are telling people, they are thinking of, they should be great people in the world. Yes, if by God's own providence, we fall into places where we are quote unquote great in the eyes of the world, that's God's own will. But we should not be those who put on our eyes, I want to be somebody in the world. I've heard some people, they say, well, when I come to die, I want my name to be known. And so they live for that. No, we shouldn't be so such people. If we put that in our eyes, we will never desire the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. It is good that we should will to do good to people. We should do good for the community, for all those around us. But it shouldn't be our aim that we are doing it so that we become great in the eyes of people. No. So while we have been doing good, we don't want people to recognize us. That's what the Christian does. You see, but what do the world tell us? I want to have a name. You know, the Christian, if you read church history, we know many Christians have done great things for this world. That also. But in their lifetime, they didn't want to be seen. It is later that people try to praise them. They didn't want to be seen in their lifetime. But they have done great things for this world that even unbelievers have not. Which unbelievers would think that they are pursuing the world. We have had great scientists, and also we have had many scholars and who were Christians. Or many, philanthropists who were Christians. And they did so many things. In their life, they never want their name to be associated that they are those who are doing it. And yet, the world thinks that, well, when I do things, I should be known. No! You see? So Christianity does not prevent us from doing good and doing many things for people, but it prevents us from taking glory or pride or praise in the things that we do. And if we are those who are seeking the praise of men, we can never come to Lord Jesus Christ. One of the pastors, he told the Jews that, you that you seek honor from men, how can you believe? He told them, you that you seek praise from men, how can you believe? Hindrance to salvation is seeking praises, whether in a small way, in a bigger way. It's a hindrance. And these stony place hearers, because they are a people that, what they want to pursue in life is contrary to that of Christ. So they are not willing to give up everything. They want to give up that portion that will not affect their ambitions for this world. But the Lord Jesus Christ will not have any of that. So the stony place hearers, there's no deep rooted grounds for the words in their heart. They are people who have not truly, they don't consider the matters of it. They don't consider the matters of it. Okay, so I go to the next part, and that is the thorny choked hearers. The thorny choked hearers. And verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And the meaning is that he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that hear the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So you see the differences. Those before this people, those who are rather who are offended because they don't want to give up the word. But these people here are people who are pursuing the world and the things of this world. So this also is another hindrance to when we don't have, or we have and we want more covetousness, and also when we don't have and we think that when we have the things of the world, we should be okay and we put our heart in it. This is the thorny choked hearers. And he tells us that they receive the seed among thorns, and the care of this world, the burdens of life, the troubles of life, and the deceitfulness of riches, as if that when they have riches, they should be okay, so they give themselves to it. Choke the word. Because while they pursue these things, they don't have time When people are anxious for daily provisions, and they also desire riches and pleasures of this world, hardly will they give their heart for the things concerning their soul. So any part of the say, well, media, well, me nibi. It means me that be honest. They may not meet the sorry and to not meet I'm sure we have heard some people saying that. I know so. Media, what do I say myself? I'm sure you have heard people like that. And people go follow. People may not say with their mouth, but they are concerned that they will have daily provisions. And if they have it, then well, God is there. If they don't have it, they have time for God. And also, people in these categories, they desire for riches. And all that they want to hear about is things that will make them make more in this world. So these two categories of people fall here. And when they give their heart to this, spiritual things, they don't care. Their soul's need is nothing. They don't care for what the Bible speaks to them about their soul. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ for sin on the cross of Calvary is no serious matter for them. Because they have serious matters. Their daily provision. Or their pursuit of what? Worldly things. They think that when they have more, they should be okay. So they are, these Tony Chokriers make fleeting, transient things their chief good. Temporal things of this life their chief good. So that when they have it, then they are okay. So while they are seeking that, they neglect the most important thing of being right with God. So that we are So they live this and they come to die and they die like that without thinking of their soul. Because you know, in this world, you always have needs. Today you have, tomorrow you have. Even if you have one thing, you need another thing. There's nobody in this world who doesn't need something. But it's my need will be different, may be different from your need. So that what the Lord Jesus was telling us that we should not think of having provisions for ourselves before we seek our salvation. Whether we have it or not, we must seek it. That's what he's telling us. Yes, we used to walk and say, in some no was it about a big go and casiemo and ye a peer by no and casiano and yemiano. But say San Casiano to say if we are seeing how and they may see Sikanya Dada Nipa and to say obedient Huma Sasa or we are seeing how no fair and we diama and I say we are Sikanya I didn't know Huma so Nyan Huka Tonwa and much in Sampano and Yasin immediately he hears it, it is choked so that it doesn't stay in his mind. So because the person has given his mind to the things of this world, and that's the most important thing for him or her. And he's daily seeking for it. And while you give yourself to that, your soul is also heading on into hell. Your soul is not saved. You are not saved. For this life, one day you may come to live it. The psalm we read, he said that what? Our life here is short. Then soon we may leave it and go. But he said that people have what? Place their hope in this world, and they think that, and one day they come and die and live it and go. But do we have to put our hope in these things? Lord Jesus Christ cautioned such people in Matthew 6:33. So, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. People are reversed. So they have to seek God and know Him and His forgiveness before they think of what the Lord will do for them. But they are rather thinking how I can have things of that, my needs, my supply, my needs supply, then I will come and seek after God. No, the Lord doesn't want that. He tells us we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things He will provide for us. The Lord provide for the need of animals. He will provide for those who have come to know Him. He will not let them have not the provision they have. They need, you provide for them. So my question to you is that, what is your principal aim in this life? What is the chief thing for you? Is it the provisions of life? Is it that what is your main focus of life? Or is it for the world to come? Is it for how you can have forgiveness of sin? And how you can know the Lord and become one of His people? Or your concern is how you can enjoy life and that's all. This is the warning here. If your purpose is that, you choke the word. The gospel will not have any influence on your mind and heart. Because day after day, your purpose is to be satisfied with the things of this age. And how can you be satisfied with the things of the world to come? You cannot, as the Bible tells us, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot give yourself to the things of this world and again give yourself to God. You must choose in between. If you are among these Tony Choke hearers, if you think that the world and all that it offers is better, the Lord says, no, you chose the gospel. The gospel have no place in your heart. Yeye can say, Omo amuji sempano ab, this was a little, and he said, Diabane gu, Casimuno, or so monsona, if we ask him how near they any Kodana, I see, or my being point, you want to mean ya a seminal home. And yes, you want to be from our Kumama. And I make us an hour. What I see when you saw us as you see it. So when you ask the Munyoma, now I okay. And now say, so when you would that be any say? Only a coupon team. So I don't want to bet you, Mamma Farm, Mamma Can and Mahon. Also, I am for why didn't you hear no? So how more, Papa more, wouldn't it? I know what I am. Because how would I know that over for the upper, Dachi, and we are never ban. So which one is your principal aim? Is it to have the temporal things of this life and then live? Or whether you have it or not, your chief thing is to think of how God will save you. And that's your aim. You are praying for it. Okay, go to the next one. And the fourth one, the last one, that's the fruitful hearers. The fruitful hearers. Verse 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So, and it tells us the meaning, verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, he seed that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60 and 30. So here is the only people that receive the word and bore fruit in their mind. This is the only people that will be saved. These are the only people that can be forgiven of their sins and be reconciled with God. Sir, nipa atosu and naipe. Omo ni kofo betu mnyanya mpa. Omo ni kofo betu mnyaji Christ wedi. Omo do mure atone so. If say omo no muti asemno, esuaba ewo omo mu. Omo na omaba esu omo aba so. Omo insempano suaba. So how do these people come to this thing? There are people who carefully meditate on the gospel. They don't let the word come here and goes out there and they are finished. No. Though sometimes they don't even understand it, but then they do not doubt it. Since it's from God, it's the word of God, then it speaks to me. I give my heart to it. So long as the family has not the boy, you know. That is what they do. They act like those who heard the gospel at the day of Pentecost. You know, the Jews, when Peter preached, you know what they said in Acts 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Like the Philippian jailer, when he was troubled, he told themselves, what must I do to be saved? You see, these are the fruitful hearers. Since the radiac has said, I don't know some give us a day. When it comes to the word of God, sometimes we don't need to understand it. We just need to believe it. Because if we want to, we cannot understand everything about the dealings of God. We cannot. Sometimes we're able to understand, but so long as it's about me as a sinner and the way I could be saved, and God's word is teaching me, Lord, I believe it. That's what I say. And such people, although they sometimes they always count the cost, yet, and they can realize that repenting of sin and believing in Jesus Christ, meaning they have to abandon their ambitions and hopes in this world and only listen to Him, though they know that it will cost them, they do not reject it. But what they do, they ask the Lord to help them. Lord, help me to be able to take it in. Yes, it will be difficult for me because I have to cut off many things that maybe were profitable to me in this life. But Lord, help me to let them go so that I can follow you. Oh Lord, help me. And you cry to him. So your heart is moved to really rest in him and knowing that the Lord will not disappoint you. And these people are also sincere about their sins. They bring their sins to the Savior. They don't keep some of their sins. Every sin, they bring them to the Savior and confess to him their helplessness. They confess to him their unbelief. They are daily confessing to him, asking him, Lord, help me. Until you have changed my heart, I will not let you go. And when they hear that Christ has suffered and died for sin, their hearts are moved. Their hearts are broken for living against the will of God. Some people almost say, oh, Christ, you are born. No one cares about Christ, you are born anymore. No one comes with you. Say, Christ, you are born. No one cares about you, you are born anymore. Their hearts are moved. They are broken hearted. You see, when they think of Christ dying for sinners, anytime they think of it, they are brought into tears. And the Lord also hears such people because the Lord, in Psalm 34 verse 8, we are told, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. They are broken heart because of they are unable to live righteously. They are broken hearted because they realize their sinfulness and yet this is the Holy God they must come to. And save such as be of a contrite spirit. Those who are broken hearted concerning their sinfulness and how far they are from God and how they cannot even lift up their eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord hears them when they cry to him. He hears them. He comes to their aid. He changes their heart and dresses them with righteousness of Christ. He gives them Christ's righteousness. Though they don't have some on their own. And he also grants them the new birth. He changes their heart and gives them a new birth by the Spirit. And then we know that so long as God has changed their hearts, give them righteousness, they alone can bear fruit of righteousness. They alone can bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Because God has given them the Spirit to bear that fruit. They alone are fruitful hearers. So friends, which are you? The four, which are you? The first three, no matter how far it goes, it bears no fruit. Which are you? And what do you hear now? Did they come here and say, they go a pine chain, they go a boss, they go a no. Then you are so we will be at. So if you saw them, I won't young quiet. If you say, Abaswano and Koso. Fourth people, the fourth category, that is where a whole, they are tossing now, Honor, Obi or yes, Christian, they are also to me now. One of those that Honor, Vigilant. I am bearing fruit. I am having that fruit of righteousness. I am ever seeking to honor him. You see? So that my hope for heaven will be genuine. Else, if I am among the three, the hope of heaven will be delusion. I cannot have it. Friends, let each one of us examine ourselves by this warning. Revelation Christ always warns us and tries to help us so that nobody will deceive himself, him or herself concerning salvation, God's favor, and heaven. He wants us to be sure that at the day of judgment. Friend, you can never be fruitful hearer if you have not asked the fourth category, giving your heart to the gospel. And you are panting and desiring that the Lord should save you and change you. In Galatians 6 verse 15, we are told, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor circumcision, but a new creature. Are you a new creature in Christ? Are you been born again? Have you been born again? Have you had this change of heart? Where all each and every day your heart is testing and hanging after Christ. May the Lord help us as we think on these things.